Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. And the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything. Get them in. We'll play them. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Coming up a little bit later on, we are going to talk about habits that you have, strange habits that you have, that we all have, and what those habits say about your personality. And we've got a Blackhawks Express coming up as well. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And my guest right now is a an entertainment journalist. He writes for Den of Geek and has written for many, many other places and publications. He has written a bunch of great pieces, and he's here to talk about his one of his most recent pieces, Son of Frankenstein, Hitting the Horror Trifecta, and we'll talk more than that. But it's a great piece about Universal Son of Frankenstein, which he feels capped off the very first great movie trilogy. And it's a really great piece and a really interesting idea, and we're going to talk with Don about that and more right now. We welcome Don to the show. Don, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick, thank you very much for having me on.
It's my pleasure, my pleasure. Now, you started out as a music journalist, but then you broke into the film world writing for Fangoria. Now, I can't tell you how much that magazine meant to me in my teen years.
Wow.
Being a horror fanatic that I am, and you know, and still, you know, Fangoria means a lot online and everything, but that magazine was I bought it every month. I had it and I loved it, and it was one of my favorite magazines ever. What were some of the things you wrote about Fangoria, and what time period are we talking about?
I was a writer for Fangoria from about early 90s, I think maybe 92, 93. And I wrote for them up till about 2008, I want to say. Like you, I grew up with the magazine, and it was couldn't wait to get each new issue. I started buying it pretty early on, and it was one of my career goals to actually try and write for them at some point.
Wow!
So I'm happy to say that I actually managed to do that. I started doing some book reviews for them, and then I got into bigger features and interviews, and stayed with them, yeah, good amount of years until about maybe 10 years ago. And it was a great experience working with them.
Yeah, well, Tony's a good guy. And, you know, through my radio show, I've interviewed him many times, and he's great. And that magazine was great. What were some of your favorite things that you wrote for Fangoria?
Oh, my God. I'd have to, like, start going back through through old back issues. I know I did... this is my favorite because it was my first cover story. It was a cover story, I believe, on House of 1000 Corpses, the Rob Zombie movie, which wasn't such a great movie, but I was excited to get a cover. I was also really excited to do pieces on horror authors because they never really quite got the exposure that, you know, the films got. And I was also a big reader from when I was a kid of a lot of different authors. And, you know, everybody knows, of course, Stephen King and Clive Barker. And I was always happy when they let me do a couple of pages interview with one of my favorite authors that maybe wasn't quite as well known, and we were able to give them some exposure. So guys like Ramsey Campbell, who's a great British writer, and some other people like that. So
yeah. We just lost Jack Ketchum, too, which...
we did, yep.
He was a fantastic writer. So that was a big loss in the horror world. And then you started writing about everything else, and you write for Den of Geek. Tell everybody about Den of Geek.
Den of Geek is a website. It's at denofgeek.com. It's actually an offshoot of a British website. The company that started it in England, and a few years back they decided they wanted to open a U.S. version of the site. And at first, they were basically taking a lot of the stuff from the British site and transferring it over to the U.S. site. Then they hired some editors here who started building up the content, started building up original content on the U.S. site that was geared more towards American readers, because while there's a lot of overlap, there's some things there like British TV shows and films that didn't make sense to talk about for American readers.
Right.
So as they started building up the contents here, they started taking on more writers, and I think I came on pretty early in that process. I'd just gotten out of another site that I'd been working for a while, was looking for some new places to work at, and we happened to run into each other. So I'm an associate editor there now, and I've been with them, I guess, about 4 years, 4.5 years.
Well, and you know, and I'm looking at some of the pieces that you've written. You write about everything. You write about TV, and you write about movies and things like that, and you do think pieces and interviews and stuff like that. You must be having fun doing this.
It is. You know, writing is hard work in a lot of ways, especially, you know, as I'm sure you know, you've probably written some things in your life when, you know, you sit there with that blank page, and it could be a task, but it's great to talk about the things you like. It's great to, you know, I started out really in with genre stuff, with Fangoria, with horror primarily. The other sites I've worked for over the years, including Den of Geek, let me spread out because I love all kinds of movies, for example, mm-hmm. And I like to write about all kinds of things. So it is a lot of fun to get a lot of that across. I like writing about independent films. We get to do that there. And as well as, you know, the big blockbusters and superhero films and a lot of other things that I like. So it's a nice, diverse type of palette.
All right. I want to talk a little bit later on. I want to talk about your top 10 movies of 2017, because I do a list every year as well. And I thought maybe we could compare.
Sure.
And but first, let's talk about this Son of Frankenstein piece that you wrote. I really loved it, and I think it is. It's really cool that you were like, this is the very first great movie trilogy, and I think that's absolutely on the money. Tell everybody why you wanted to write this piece.
It was actually an idea from my editor. I think we were talking about various story ideas, and I think I don't remember the exact inspiration for it, but we were talking about the Universal picture, the old Universal movies, and you know, people talk about Frankenstein. They talk about Bride of Frankenstein, especially that was in the process of possibly getting remade recently. So
yeah,
that was out there a lot, but they don't talk about Son of Frankenstein as much. And I think that when you look at Son of Frankenstein, it is worthy, very much a worthy follow-up to both those earlier pictures. And in some ways, it even improves on them, which is saying something, because back in those days, they didn't treat sequels the way they treat them now, where each one sort of has to top the last. They used to treat sequels as kind of knockoffs. Let's try and squeeze a little more money out of this.
Right.
You know, so they'd be cheaper, wouldn't have the same stars. It'd be, you know, instead of an A-list director, they'd get some, you know, studio hack who, you know, kind of ground out movies for them every week. But those Frankenstein movies were a different ballgame. It wasn't the same director as it was in the first two, but nevertheless, they poured some money into it. They had a great cast, very elaborate production, and it ended up being a really nice cap to what ended up, as you say, being the first sort of trilogy of that kind.
Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I really do think that people don't talk about Son of Frankenstein, and you're absolutely right, people don't talk about Son of Frankenstein as much as the first two, and especially Bride, because Bride is, I think, the best of the trilogy, and a great film. But Son of Frankenstein has a lot going on for it. Talk a little bit about who directed it. It was Roland V. Lee directed it, and the stars and the movie itself. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, Roland V. Lee was a director who had been he was an actor at one point, and then he sort of transitioned into I guess what you would call a sort of journeyman director. Wasn't really famous for anything. He'd done a version of The Count of Monte Cristo. He'd done an early version of The Three Musketeers. Kind of solid, dependable guy that the studio could turn to. James Whale, who was somewhat of a visionary and who had directed the first two films, he didn't want to come back for the third one, so they couldn't get Whale back. So Lee came in, and actually what was surprising about Lee was that for a guy who hadn't really done anything to distinguish himself so much up to that point, he actually kind of came into Son of Frankenstein with a vision. He wanted to make it look a little bit more like the old German expressionist horror films, the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari or Nosferatu. And he definitely put sort of a stylistic stamp on the film. They did get Boris Karloff back as the monster for his third and final time in that role. They also managed to get Bela Lugosi, who was not kind of in a career slump, but the idea of him and Karloff working together again was something that the studio wanted to sell. Ironically, Lugosi had been offered the role of the monster years earlier and turned it down because he didn't have any lines. And now, you know, eight, nine years later, here he was finally appearing in a Frankenstein movie, except in a great role, a great character, Igor, this psychotic hunchback who revived, who wants the monster revived and wants to use him as his own personal assassin. You had Basil Rathbone as the title character, the son of Frankenstein, the son of the original doctor who wants to clear his father's name. And finally, you had Lionel Atwell, who's one of the great character actors of that period, who played the inspector, the one-armed inspector who had his arm ripped off by the monster when he was a kid and now has a wooden arm, and just a great bit of character acting by this actor as well.
Yeah, no, it's an incredible cast. I mean, those are some of the biggest names of that, you know, of that genre and of that time period, and they're all terrific in it. And it ends up being a great movie, and all three of them turn out to be great. And I also love that you do mention, you know, because people who saw Young Frankenstein, and you mentioned Kenneth Marr's performance in the movie, might not know that that's pretty close. It's pretty close to what happened, what Atwell did in Son of Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's you know, Young Frankenstein is actually pretty much, you know, even though Mel Brooks wanted to kind of spoof the horror genre in general and took a lot from the Frankenstein movies. He takes a good portion of his plot and the characters from Son of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
for that movie. Yeah. And like you said, right down to the inspector, and Kenneth Mars is terrific in that role. I mean, that's still, you know, one of my favorite comedies of all time.
Yeah, it's one of the it's one of the best. It's one of the funniest movies ever made. Don, hang on, okay?
You bet, man.
Okay, Don Kay is with us. He is an entertainment journalist for Den of Geek, and you can check out denofgeek.com for more information. And he put together a list of his top 10 favorite movies of 2017, and I want to compare notes with him. And he's got a few other things that he's written about that we want to talk about as well. So check out denofgeek.com. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with more after this. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. My guest right now is Don Kay. He's an entertainment journalist. He writes for Den of Geek. And we were just talking about this great piece he wrote about kind of an unsung horror movie called Son of Frankenstein, which was the third in the first trilogy of Frankenstein movies. And in the piece that he wrote, I mean, the movie was released in early 1939. In the piece that he wrote, he maintains that it is the first great movie trilogy of all time. And it's a really great piece. And we wanted to talk more about things that Don writes about, and it's denofgeek.com, and he put together his favorite movies of 2017. Hey, Don, welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Nick.
All right, so let's talk about, what did you think of just overall the movie year of 2017 as we look back?
Pretty strong year overall. There was a period in the middle where it was somewhat disappointing. I think the summer was probably the most disappointing part of the year there was quite a lot said about some of the big disappointing summer releases, but there was some good stuff early on, there's some good stuff towards the end of the year, and when I was putting together this top 10, there's kind of an embarrassment of riches there that I had to kind of, you know, leave some stuff off. So yeah. All in all, I'd say pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty great year, too. And I've been reviewing movies here at the station for, for 32 years. And I thought this was a very strong year. And I had a very, very hard time. And I always have a hard time. But I was, this year in particular, I had a very hard time ranking the movies. Like, I kept changing which one was in number 2 or number 3 or number 10. You know, I just kept moving them around. Did you find you had difficulty doing that?
I did. I always do too.
Yeah.
It's a little hard for me to do that. Oddly, I always seem to be able to know what my favorite movie of the year is. It kind of that always seems to stand out right away. And this year was no different. I knew what my favorite movie of the year was this year. After that, when you start going down the list, it becomes harder to kind of sort them out. But
yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about it. Number 10 on your list is The Post, the Steven Spielberg movie.
Yes.
Which was, I put together a list of 2015 on my list. And I think I think it's Spielberg's best movie since Minority Report. And so it's been like 15 years. And so I was a big fan of it. Why did you choose The Post?
I chose it because I love newspaper movies. I loved Spotlight last year, or was it last year or 2 years ago?
2 years. Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years ago. I love, you know, All the President's Men is sort of the template for that.
And I would also throw into that category Shattered Glass, which I think is a criminally underrated movie.
Yes, I agree. In fact, that's just been on cable lately, and I always find myself stopping and looking at it.
It's so good. And Peter Sarsgaard in that movie, it's such a great performance.
Yeah, fantastic stuff there. And The Post, I think it's kind of starts off a little slow, and then it just kind of builds and builds, and that second half just is really electrifying. It's got great performances. It's very relevant to a lot of what's going on today in the media and in politics. And I just I just enjoyed all those aspects of it. And I think Spielberg, he did do a great job. It's one of his better films in recent years.
Yeah. Number nine on your list is Detroit, a criminally underappreciated movie, which also made my top 20 at number 18. And I think Catherine Bigelow did a great job with this movie. I think releasing it in the summer was a mistake. Mm-hmm. And I think, the current climate, I don't know if people wanted to see a movie that was that heavy. I think that's what happened to it, why it got lost in the shuffle.
I agree. I think the studio didn't quite know what to do with it, and like you say, the summer release was a miscalculation on their part. It's not, it doesn't come near to qualifying as a summer movie.
No.
That is a very dark, very intense, very brutal film. My wife and I went to see it, and I think afterwards we both agreed what a great movie it was, and we'd probably never want to see it again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still a great movie, though. Number eight, Call Me By Your Name, seems to be getting a lot of love at the end of the year.
It does. And again, it's a very, it's a simple movie. This director, Luca Guadagnino,
yeah.
I hope I said that right,
yeah.
He's very sensual and very tactile director. He makes these very textured, kind of lush films. And this was just a beautiful film about a relationship between these two young men, and just a really emotional, heartbreaking movie.
Yeah.
And that I think, very about a very universal type of love.
Okay. And then I have not seen number seven on your list, which is Graduation.
Yes, Graduation is a film by a Romanian director. His name is Christian I'm not sure I'm going to say this right either. Mungiu. He made a film a few years ago. I haven't seen everything that he's done, but he made a film a few years ago called 4 Months, 3 Weeks, and 2 Days.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, that's a terrific movie.
Which is a terrific movie,
yeah, yeah.
And this is another one, a very very understated, very. Almost documentary-like in the way it just kind of follows this family, and it follows his father down this very steady sort of descent of corruption as he's trying to help his daughter pass her final exams in school. And it's just a gripping, very dramatic tale of sort of a morality gone wrong.
Mm-hmm. Number six, The Big Sick. It was number 12 on my list, and I'm so happy for the attention that the movie got, and for the success that it had. It's just a wonderful film.
It really is, and I think, like I said in my top 10 article, I'm not huge on romantic comedies in a lot of ways, especially the last few years. I haven't seen a lot that I've liked very much, but this was just a very funny, very heartwarming movie, very emotionally powerful, especially because it was based on the real-life relationship that the two screenwriters and the actor, and who's one of them who also starred, had, and very, really just funny and just very poignant.
Okay. Don, hang on for a second. When we come back, we'll fly through your top five, and I'll give you some of my choices for the best of the year. And then you were part of a group of people who wrote a piece about the 40 must-see movies of 2018, so I thought we could talk a little bit about that and looking forward to some of the stuff for this year.
You got it.
Okay, hang on a second. Don Kay is with us. He's an entertainment journalist who writes for Den of Geek, and we're talking about his favorite movies of the year. And he also wrote a great piece about The Son of Frankenstein, which I think you should look up, and you can check it all out at denofgeek.com. We'll take a break for the news, and then we come back more with Don right after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. It's Wednesday Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. That's also our number for talk and text. And, yeah, we're going to be talking about your habits. If you have any strange habits and certain habits that will tell you a lot about your personality. We'll get to that as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Right now, we are talking with Don Kay, an entertainment journalist who writes for Den of Geek. You can check out denofgeek.com. And we were talking about this great piece he wrote about the movie Son of Frankenstein. And now we're going through his favorite movies of 2017, and we'll do a little preview of what we're looking forward to in 2018. And we welcome Don back to the show. Welcome back, Don.
Thanks, Nick. Great to be here.
Okay, let's go through your top five. Number five is a movie that I don't think got a lot of didn't get any consideration for awards, but it should. And that's the Western Hostiles.
Yeah, and this is actually just I think it just went into wide release last week,
right?
If I'm not mistaken,
yeah.
And it actually did pretty well, so I'm hoping that it finds an audience. It's what you would call, you know, I guess you would call it a deconstructionist type of Western or a revisionist type of Western. Kind of strips away a lot of the myths about the Old West the way that Unforgiven did, which
right.
is another classic film in this genre.
Yep.
Great performance by Christian Bale. It's also kind of a very punishing movie to watch, and not a happy film. But still something really powerful. Again, really, really resonant, I think, to today and to, you know, things that are going on in the modern world. And also beautifully shot, just a beautiful looking movie as well.
Yeah, it is. Number four on your list is Logan, which I was so thrilled to see got an adapted screenplay nomination. That came out of nowhere for me.
It really did, and that was great to see because the comic book, the superhero genre does not get any love from the Motion Picture Academy.
Right.
They've overlooked things like The Dark Knight in years past, so I don't know if this is a sign that maybe they're finally starting to relax a little bit as far as that goes, but Logan deserved it. It's a great screenplay. It's a terrific send-off for the character. The performances by Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart.
Outstanding.
You know, he's a guy who could have gotten the Best Supporting Actor nomination.
Easily.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, Logan was number 16 on my list of best of the year. I think it might be the best comic book movie I've ever seen. And I think it's because it's so different than your average comic book film. But
for
I
sure.
just I loved it. And then number three on your list is It.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And number two, The Killing of a Sacred Deer, which also made my top 20. A very difficult movie to describe.
Mm-hmm, for sure, for sure.
But a good one. And I was a big fan of The Lobster as well. And so I like this director, and I like the stuff that he's doing with Colin Farrell. It's just weird and good.
Very weird, very surreal, kind of a horror movie for sure.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of The Lobster for whatever reason, but this one really hit me hard, and I really enjoyed it, yeah.
And then your number one movie, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which is getting, you know, now there's this weird backlash against it, which I just find absurd. But what was your reason for picking Three Billboards, which was number four on my list, by the way?
A couple of things. The first thing about it was just how surprising a movie it is. It starts out with Frances McDormand as this woman who puts up these three billboards, sort of going after the sheriff of her town for not finding the guy who's raped and murdered her daughter.
Right.
And you think that it's going to set up this sort of confrontation between her and the sheriff, played by Woody Harrelson. And it does, but then it goes in a completely different direction. It doesn't go quite the way you would expect the film to necessarily go.
Yeah.
Characters don't go in the way you would expect them to go, and it becomes something very different as it goes along.
Yeah.
And it's just I think it's beautifully written, unbelievably acted by the three major actors, McDormand and Harrelson and the incredible Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
And it's a movie that I never, I never ever felt like I knew where it was going, and I love that about it.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned how well it's written. It is an extraordinarily well written script. I mean, just the dialogue is so great, and you know, like you said, the three leads are amazing in it. And it's just, it's Sam Rockwell is finally getting some, you know, some acclaim that he's deserved for years. He's just one of the best actors on the planet.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And this is a fantastic role for him, and I will be very much in his corner on Oscar night,
yeah.
Hoping he wins.
Yeah, me too. Let me throw you my top 10, Don, and then you see what you think. Number 10 on my list was It Comes at Night, which
mm-hmm.
I thought was pretty terrifying.
I agree with you completely. Yep.
Number 9, you'll see a pattern here. Number 9 was Raw. Which is not an easy movie to watch, but I thought it was great, and I thought the lead performance was amazing.
Yep.
Number 8, Lady Bird.
Okay, yep.
Number 7, I, Tonya. Number 6, A Ghost Story, which is just a beautiful movie.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, I love Mother. I had to defend this movie many times since it came out last September, but I really love it. I just thought it was great. Did you like Mother?
I did like it very much. It didn't make the top 10, and in fact, you know, all the movies you're talking about would have been in my probably top 20.
Yeah.
Certainly I, Tonya, and certainly Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think that just shows, you know, what a pretty solid
year. Oh, yeah. Strong year. Number 4 was 3 Billboards. Number 3 was Baby Driver, which I just adore that movie, the skill that was put into that film and the way it was shot and the way it was edited and put together. I thought the music was great, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, Phantom Thread, which Paul Thomas Anderson's my favorite filmmaker. So, and I really thought that movie was weird and lovely.
Okay.
And with one of the best scores I've ever heard in my life. The score for Phantom Thread is amazing. My number 1 movie was, which I think is the most original film of the year and a movie that resonated with me on a personal level, my number 1 movie, and it made your runner up, or your honorable mentions, is Colossal. That was my favorite film of the year, and I thought it's the best work that Anne Hathaway's ever done. I thought Jason Sudeikis was a revelation in it, and I happen to like Gatsu films a lot, and just personally, on a personal note, the film really affected me, and I think it was a great film.
It was, and I agree with everything you said about that and about her performance, and I love the kaiju genre, so I really like the touch of that. And that director, Nacho Vigalondo, is a very original and interesting director.
Absolutely, yeah. So that was my number 1. It was a good year, too, solid year. Now, you participated in a piece. Tell me about this piece, the 40 Must-See Movies of 2018, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the ones that you're looking forward to.
Yeah, well, it's something that we just put together. Our film editor puts that together every year and asks a few of us to contribute. And it's just, it's just sort of taking a look at the year ahead, movies that we're looking forward to that we know of. You know, sometimes films come out or get dated later in the year that no one kind of is anticipating. So not necessarily everything on there will end up being what we expected, or there'll be some other things added later on. But it's just kind of a great look ahead.
Well, what are some of the ones that you contributed to, the ones that you're looking forward to in 2018?
Well, I can tell you that I just saw one of them last night, two nights ago, which was Black Panther.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I can't say too much because we're under embargo.
Right.
We're not allowed to really say much until, I think, Monday morning.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that it's unlike, pretty much unlike any other Marvel film that has come out yet.
Oh, wow.
And it's gotten, the cast is fantastic. It's very different, but it's a really unique and pretty bold piece of filmmaking.
Oh, that's great to hear.
There for now. Yeah.
That's great to hear. I think Ryan Coogler's a great director. And I loved all the movies that he's made, and I really, really adore Creed. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing this.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. What else?
Well, I think the next one I'm looking forward to is Annihilation, which is a sci-fi film written and adapted for the screen, I should say, from a book and directed by Alex Garland, who did Ex Machina a couple years ago, another great sci-fi film. And and Alex Garland has written some really good science fiction screenplays over the past few years. He made his directing debut with Ex Machina. This is his second feature as a director. It's based on a really creepy sort of sci-fi horror hybrid novel by an author named Jeff Vandermeer. And the book itself is kind of very hallucinogenic and surreal. I know a few people have seen the movie. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm hoping to see it in the next week or two. And but what I've heard is so far is that it's really good, really eerie, and just really weird stuff.
Yeah, the trailer's creepy. I mean, I haven't seen the film, but the trailer is really creepy. And it's got a great cast: Jennifer Jason Leigh, Oscar Isaac, and of course Natalie Portman. So,
oh yeah, definitely, yeah, yeah, great stuff.
All right, and anything else?
Yeah, well, I am. In addition to being a big horror fan, I'll mention something on the horror end of things that I just heard of just this week. There was a film that played at the Sundance Film Festival called Hereditary.
Yeah. I'd say, Don, we have a correspondent who talks to us about, Sundance. And I have, he knows of my love for horror. And, when we were getting reports from him, that's the first movie he talked about. And it was of the, he saw 29 movies while he was at Sundance. And he said that one by far was his favorite.
Yeah, the debut feature from this brand new writer director, and the word out of the festival—I wasn't there. The word out of the festival is that it is one of the scariest horror movies that has come out in years. And there always seems to be one that comes out of Sundance. A few years ago, it was The Babadook,
yeah,
that really knocked people out there, and then The Witch after that.
Mm-hmm.
This one's got Toni Collette, Gabriel Byrne. It's about a family sort of grappling with a sort of a family curse. And I'm just hearing great things. It's coming out in June, I believe, A24.
Yeah.
Just picked it up. So I'm really looking forward to that.
The trailer just hit the internet. I don't know. Have you seen the trailer?
I didn't have a chance to. I know it's out there. I have not had a chance to watch it. Believe it or not, because even though I'm so excited about this movie, I've actually almost stayed away from the trailer a little bit now.
It looks pretty crazy. That's all I'm going to say. It looked a great trailer. So, all right. Is there anything else that you wanted to end with?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to, as I started to say, in addition to being like a big horror fan, I am a big superhero fan, and I'm particularly a fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think they've done so many things right with those films.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really excited about Avengers Infinity War. It's going to be so interesting to see and so cool to see everybody in that universe on the screen
yeah.
in this one movie. And I think between this one and then the follow-up that comes out a year later, they're going to make some changes to the universe, and I hope that they take some chances and make some bold moves and shake things up. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right, great. Well, Don, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, Nick, it was very it was great to be on here. Thank you so much for the kind words about the Frankenstein piece.
Yeah.
And it's been great talking with you.
Okay, take care. There's Don Kay, everybody. And he writes for Den of Geek. And you can check out denofgeek.com for more info. And check out that piece he wrote about Son of Frankenstein. And he's written a ton of other stuff. Very cool stuff.